Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of the Dr. Hank Show. I'm your host and lovable fellow. I just had to say that. But yes, I'm your host, Dr. Hank, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to talk about what is my favorite topic, and that's emotional intelligence. So welcome if you're tuning in for the very first time. Let me just give you a little background. The Dr. Hank Show is designed to bring you current, past, and future information around the topic of emotional intelligence and pretty much everything that's related to emotional intelligence. So if you're new to the field and you're trying to find out something or get some information, then this is the place to be. Not only is it the place to be, but you can call in and talk to the host or call in and talk to our guests. To do so, all you need to do is get your mobile device or your landline and dial 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. And you're welcome to pose any questions, make any comment, as long as you keep it clean, as the saying goes. So, look forward to hearing from you during the show. A little bit about what's going to be up today. The topic for the show today is the truth about PTSD and relationships. The truth about PTSD and relationships. But before we get to that, tell you about a few things that's coming up pretty soon. One, I'm going to be doing a book signing tomorrow in New Orleans at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside. The Hilton New Orleans Riverside. So if you're in that immediate area, please stop in. The book signing will occur between 11 and noon. Make it 10:30, between 10:30 a.m. and noon. I'm going to be speaking at a conference there, and the book signing is tied to the conference. The conference is by one of the largest African-American groups there is, and it's called Blacks in Government, or BIG. And each year they have an annual conference, and this year it's in New Orleans. And so I'm going to be speaking there, and the title of my presentation would be Emotional Intelligence, Your Competitive Advantage for Career and Personal Success. So the focus is on how we can use, or how emotional intelligence can be used to be our competitive advantage, or anyone's competitive advantage as far as that is concerned. So again, if you're in that area, stop in, participate in the conference. Certainly you can be a part of the book signing. Tell you a little bit about the conference. In that EQ, the conference is 4 days. The conference is 4 days. And to just give you an idea how important emotional intelligence is, the conference is 4 days. There will be four presentations around emotional intelligence. So each day, someone will be presenting on emotional intelligence. So that gives you an idea of how important emotional intelligence is, that they thought that it should be addressed at least once a day by someone. I'm only doing one session. However, there are some others that will be talking about emotional intelligence from other perspectives. So again, it's just to illustrate how important emotional intelligence is. One of the other things that's coming up pretty soon, actually it's in October, and October isn't that far away. The Society of Emotional Intelligence is doing a webinar conference on October 19th. So what I'm going to suggest that you do is you go to our website, societyofei.org, and go to the conference page, and you'll find the information about that webinar conference. Essentially, we're going to have three webinars starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time and ending at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So it will be three webinars presented by three practitioners in the field of emotional intelligence. You won't want to miss that. And let me just tell you right now, the fee is only $79, and you can't beat that with a stick. $79 for all three presentations. The presentations are about 45 to an hour long, so you'll get plenty of information. And the details for that is on the website, societyofei.org, and just go to the conference page for the details. Anyway, I had mentioned that today our guest is Dr. Heather Tucker. You probably had, hopefully you've had the benefit of hearing her in the past. If not, you're in for a treat. She does a great presentation, but not only a great presentation, she does great work. Great work. And so let me just check in and see if she's on the line. If she is, she can tell you a little bit about some of the things that she's doing, some of the things that's revolutionizing the field of coaching and other areas. But let me just check in. Good morning. This is Dr. Hank. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, Dr. Hank, this is Heather. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Got you loud and clear. Awesome. Thank you. And thank you for joining us this morning. I was about to tell the people all of the wonderful things about you, but I thought you probably know more wonderful things about you than I do. So why don't I just give you the opportunity to just kind of share a few of your wonderful things. For those that don't know you.
Okay. I am Dr. Heather Tucker. I am a life harmony coach, speaker, and trainer. I work with business leaders, especially women business leaders, who desire to stress less, make more money, and strengthen their relationships. So I am the CEO and co-founder of Another Level Living Incorporated. And we do a couple of things. One of the things we do is coaching and consulting, definitely speaking. We have our own academy. I think that's the biggest piece, where we teach and certify life coaches. So that is one of the things that is making a big progress in that regard. Really empowering people to be able to empower other people and go and spread that message. Mm-hmm. I also work with PTSD spouses and caregivers. My husband is a Marine Corps veteran. He did two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and mm-hmm. together he actually is the CFO of the company, and he's also a life harmony coach. And essentially, those are, you know, we work with people on how to be able to have healthier relationships as well as more peace with PTSD.
Wow. See, I told you a lot of those wonderful things about you. I probably would have only mentioned about half of those. So, couple of things that you mentioned there, and you said you help people to understand how to, quote, stress less and also how to make more money. Now, I know that's not what the show is about this morning, but when you say stress less, give us maybe – a 30-second on how can one stress less?
You know, oftentimes we're so overwhelmed with everything that's going on, and especially now in this technology area or technology age that we're in, the stressors even come more from, you know, all different places, not our businesses, our unexpected work and life situations that happen, as well as even the technology and being overloaded with all the emails and calls and texts and that come in. We're so connected that it causes people to get very overwhelmed. And one of the things is that life doesn't necessarily have to be that way. It can be one of the things that I love referring to is, you know, who really won the race, the tortoise or the hare? So we're like taught to go, go, go. But the reality is there could be much more power in even making sure that instead of going so quickly, trying to accomplish things, going at a pace that's healthy for them, especially when unexpected life things happen. So that's usually a lot of what people who come to me, they have an unexpected situation that happens, loss of a loved one, or, you know, life just got in the way, something happened, and they're not sure how to be able to overcome it. It gets in the way of their business. So how they can lead with more momentum and not be so overwhelmed by all the things that are happening, but have like more life harmony and having more priorities, or, you know, being okay as priority shift.
Oh, okay. Got you. Now, what about that second piece, and that is make more money? You got my attention there.
Oh,
We're
totally all about helping your business, and that's one reason why I work with a lot of business leaders, your business is an extension of you. So how you are, it really gets reflected into the business in so many ways. My background is in information technology and IT. So one of the things that I specialize in as well is helping entrepreneurs and business leaders increase their online presence, their social media, email marketing, getting their message out there. And also not only that, but just them being able to get their own voice back and, you know, even take the stage. A lot of clients that I work with have a desire to speak, and they become amazing speakers. So therefore they can attract more clients and change more lives. So when it comes to making money, I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, so I can see you would be highly sought after.
Yes, yes. And it's almost so crazy that we're actually in the process of, you know, bringing more people on to support all the demand, which is a good thing. It's a blessing.
Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations for that. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, today's topic is the truth about PTSD and relationships. Now, one of the things is, you know, that I'm going to say PTSD has become a buzzword. I mean, you hear it all the time, and there's probably some misunderstandings about it. You know, people almost always associate it with a veteran having been in a war or something, and they come back and PTSD. That's just perceived as an automatic. But as I understand it from the kinds of information that you've shared in the past, the PTSD is not necessarily only about war veterans. So tell us a little bit about PTSD. What is PTSD?
PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. And the reality is that any significant emotional event or collection of significant emotional events that have had significant emotional trauma can lead to PTSD. Even people who have had a horrible, tragic car accident and they relive the car accident over and over again, and it's a fear of even driving, that's a variation of PTSD. But one of the things that we had talked about before was how it's also linked to childhood trauma. So when we had that conversation before, it was actually one of three conversations I had that week on PTSD. And throughout the end of the week, it was like, oh, my gosh, people just don't have any idea of what we really go through, because it's a fear of even being around people. One of the things, anything can trigger it. People with PTSD tend to have a lot of avoidance issues. Also, they want to be isolated and be by themselves. Even now, as I struggle with our PTSD, it's like I have no desire to be around a lot of crowded people, depending on where it is. So making sure that I feel safe and comfortable in certain environments. And then there can be so many different triggers. So, yes, it's funny because there's a good significant portion of Americans who have suffered from this. It's a whole range from simple, slight, mild cases of anxiety and, you know, panic and stuff to really severe, severe situations like the people from the military experience.
I was going to say you mentioned an individual being in a car accident and then essentially having flashbacks from that, and I'm going to call it flashbacks, having flashbacks from that, and they don't drive anymore. They just simply don't have the courage or the nerve or whatever it is that it takes to drive anymore. So they refuse to drive because they keep reliving that. And I know of an individual that has happened to. And so essentially they have a post-traumatic stress disorder from having been driving and been in an accident. And now they can't or won't drive. And essentially, they don't like riding in the front seat of a vehicle.
Right.
Put them in the back seat where they can't see the road ahead and the traffic and stuff, and they're okay. But that's the only way that you get them in the vehicle, pretty much.
Right. So true. So true. Yeah. And the sad reality is that, you know, even though what happens is these individuals, they become frozen in time, if that makes sense. So when I first met my husband, even though it had been about 10 years since he had been out of war, it was as if it was yesterday. And so it prevents them from even being able to move forward in their life or really even being so present. And a lot of times they tend to live with this, and unless something in their life causes them to be able to want to be able to step out of it, whether it's that they get into a relationship or that they, you know, that they have a child and they see how it's being impacted by the child, because children, you know, they want to go out, they want to be social, they are social creatures.
So,
it's a big deal.
Speaking of relationships, now, this is sort of like a good segue to the next question that I was going to ask you, and that is, how does PTSD impact relationships and society in general?
This is a really good question. So one of the things is, in my practice, we talk about relationships, and we talk about the, you know, different types of relationships that are important to everyone. And the biggest one that we work with is helping people strengthen their relationship with themselves and other people. Because it's hard to be able to have good, healthy relationships with other people when we don't have a good, healthy relationship with ourselves. It's like it becomes filtered through whatever we experience. And one of the things that happens with PTSD is that it, people who have PTSD, people around them tend to develop secondary PTSD. So it wasn't, and a lot of times we're not even aware of this change. So it wasn't not until like 3 years into our relationship where I actually recognized, wow, I'm not the same person I used to be. I used to be social and now I don't want to go out anymore. All of these different things. I'm living in intense fear as well. It also is a common place for people who have, who are caregivers for people with PTSD. They also have a form of PTSD themselves. So it was interesting because my husband's PTSD forced me to be able to really figure out my own. And what came from. And that came from events when I was 3, 4, and 5 years old. So the reality is we don't have to have a great past to have a great future. And in PTSD relationships, one of the reasons why it's so easy for them to, they come together and then they come apart, is because of this flight or fight response. But when things mm-hmm. get too difficult, it's hard for them to be able to come together. And it's up to each person within that relationship to be able to figure out what that is. Sometimes it's difficult, especially when you have someone that has PTSD and they're a parent. So it's like they have to be able to see how their reflections of their behaviors are impacting the child, and then that forces the change. But one of the things is that
Let me interrupt you just for a second, because I just heard something that I just wanted to. You say you referenced it. You use the term secondary PTSD, and that is, let's say that person A, and we're going to call him the spouse, has PTSD, and then person B, the spouse of the primary person, they're going along fine, and all of a sudden they get into this relationship, and they've been in the relationship for a while. Are you saying that it could trigger PTSD in person B based on maybe something that they were exposed to in the past, or something that happened in the past? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, relationships are a reflection. It's like a mirror. It's like a reflection of also what's going on with that other person. And yes, it's funny because it's interesting because it's not just what from the spouse. It can also trickle down into the kids. So now you see a lot of kids even acting out, and it's because there's such intense emotions they don't even really are able to understand them. The sad thing of how it impacts society is because we have started to become a bit numb to these things, especially mm-hmm. with technology. It's easy to be able to, and that's one of the reasons why I went into this field, was because, I was in charge of teaching computers how to be able to respond to a learner's emotions, but mm-hmm. I didn't even understand my own emotions. And what I had realized was technology was like a big, it's almost like emotion control. So I was in the airport the other day, or yesterday, last night coming home, and mm-hmm. all you saw all around you was people on their phones. No interaction, no anything. So it's easy now to be able to avoid what's really going on and then have people in front of a technology. And then it's like it never gets addressed. So a lot of people within our society, we're never really taught to express our emotions, especially for a majority of relationships. There's this book called Facing Codependency. And it talks about how a majority of relationships all over the world, really, they are some form of an addictive relationship. They get together, it's fast, it's intense. About 2 years into the relationship, then they start to see, you see the person that you get together with initially through the lens of, who that ideal person is. And then mm-hmm. the truth starts to come out of who they really are and what's really going on. So it's like this, even within that relationship, it has a little bit of that flight or fight. So what happens is it not only goes into that book talks about not just from the relationship part, but then how it impacts the kids. Because then relationships will get together, and then they'll have a kid thinking it's going to solve the things, but it actually doesn't. It can make things worse. Because you're dealing with an additional person. So it's an additional thing that you're dealing with in addition to everything else.
Okay, so we're going to call it we're going to call it an injured relationship, or a relationship that may have issues. So what can be done to strengthen these relationships then?
What can be done to strengthen them? First, recognize, and really have the biggest thing is have support. Because one of the things that happens within PTSD is like you feel like you're in it alone, you want to do it alone, everything is okay, you don't need anybody. But what happens is we're not called to really be able to live life alone. And it wasn't until we started reaching out and connecting to the services that are available to help us to be able to figure out how can we overcome these things. Emotional intelligence and getting clarity about self-awareness of your own emotions. We can't control the things that happen, but we can't control how we respond to them. So having more clarity of, having more clarity of your emotions and how they impact other people, it really just allowing people to be able to go deep. And forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that's so needed. Forgiveness, grace, patience, cultivating these things for both parties within the relationship. Because it's like almost what happens is sometimes, like, one of my colleagues had told me, she said, Heather, you know, men get married thinking that things are never going to change. And women get married thinking that things will continue to get better. Right? And the reality is, you know, we're surrounded by things that grow. Everything is supposed to grow. Change is the only constant. So nothing is ever supposed to be exactly the same forever.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing, you know, what is it from the past that has led to, first of all, getting down to the root cause. Like, I had to ask myself, why was I so crazy? I was crazy even before he came. In my mind, you know, it was like two different people, and you're trying to keep it all together. But when you no longer have to pretend like everything is okay, and you can actually really be okay, that's where the possibility comes in. I get so many ladies who have been divorced, or, you know, they're going through a separation, and they still have hope for their relationship and their marriage, and they're trying to figure out how to be able to work it out, how to be able to bring it out. And the thing is, the woman is the emotional GPS of the family. That's one reason why I love working with women, because how they go is like the whole family can go too. Mm. But it also causes, you know, the spouses to as well recognize the things that are going on. A lot of times people with PTSD want to suppress. They want to suppress. They want to forget. They have a lot of unwanted behaviors. When you uncover and release all of these things that are going on, it's going to be so much easier for you not to even have to worry about those behaviors, because the root cause and the problem and the problem is gone and the symptom is gone, then there's no need to be able to try to fill the void or try to forget with those unwanted behaviors. So the biggest thing is, have support. Especially, that's one of the reasons why I love teaching life coaching, because it doesn't matter where anybody's past has been. It is, they can become amazing coaches. They don't even have to become coaches for, you know, to actually have a business. They just having those skills alone is the best form of communication. And then they're able to better communicate, right, with anyone, especially their spouses. So that's one of the things I always hear about. Oh my gosh, I love when there's couples that actually come to the class together, because then it's like they have a same common language to be able to speak. And then they're like, oh my gosh, this is why. Wow. Think about, Dr. Hank, think about how many marriages, like the divorce rate is like over the amount of people staying together. It's like 60%, 60% divorces. 40% of people staying together. And if they just knew what was really going on, it's so easy to blame people. But for everything finger that's pointing to them, there's three fingers pointing back at you. So all of that. So there's no need to blame.
Well, what
just
I was
understand
going to
and
say,
appreciate.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you know, it sounds like in that, when we're experiencing these, you know, it's sort of like it gets us down, so to speak. And that's when we see all kinds of, and I'm going to use the term negatives. Is there a way to reframe that so that we can say, is there something good that can come out of this? Is there something... can I see the positives that can come out of this, or am I just consistently looking at the downside or the negative side or the hurt side? How can I reframe that?
So yes, depression and sadness and anger are so, so very real, especially when it has to do with PTSD. And this is one of the reasons why it impacts society, because this is something that's really prevalent, especially in our culture here. And the thing is, you know, how do we look at the glass? Do we look at it half empty, or do we look at it half full? Do we look at the positive and the opportunity, or do we look at the burden? Do we focus on the blessing, or do we focus on the burden? You know, there's so many different things, that, and the reality is what you focus on expands. So if you focus on the negative, that's what you're going to get is more negative. When you focus on the positive, the blessings, there's always a hidden blessing and a learning in each thing that happens to us. Either we can let the things that happen to us define us or not. Like, there was the perfect example that I like to use in my class. Oprah had two twins on her show.
Okay.
And these two twins, both of them were molested by their father when they were growing up. One of them became a corporate executive and a successful businesswoman, corporate executive, doing amazing things, making over six figures a year. The other one became a prostitute, strung out on drugs. And then the question is, when she asked the question, what caused you to be, what caused you to be where you are now? She said, they both said the same thing. Given what I've been through, how would I have turned out any other way? So if they both said that same thing, what's the difference? Their perspective. And what they told themselves. And the reality is, oh my gosh, I tell my students all the time, you don't know, I don't look like what I've been through. Because if I did, if I would have listened to the negative voices, I wouldn't be here in front of you today. And the thing is, it goes back to that whole part. We don't have to have a great past to have a great future. A lot of times people with PTSD, they focus on the past so much that they're not even able to be in the present. And they have a very big difficulty seeing the vision for the future. And the beautiful thing about coaching is we focus on, okay, where we are in the present, how we can be able to have live more in the present and have a bigger vision for the future. It's like you give them hope again. And the reality is, it's not even by fixing. We don't fix anything. We ask the right questions, so therefore they can tap into their own answers.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. So let me then ask you this. We've been talking about PTSD, and we've been talking about how it impacts relationships, and we've been talking a little bit about how to strengthen it perhaps. But what happens if PTSD is not addressed, especially in the United States or America, we might say? What happens?
Oh, my gosh. It's so very sad, because there's so many forces against, first of all, there needs to be an understanding of people with PTSD in general. On a more general scale, it's like there needs to be more patience and love as compared to assuming, judging, criticizing, and assuming for people. And this is even especially for people within the community service or orientations or organizations. Or if you're somebody who's working for the community, working for the government, or working for the military, you're in a place of service, all the more reason why there needs to be more training in this regard. And then also helping them recognize their own PTSD. We've been unfortunately harassed by the cops, and it was really, really a sad situation. We had to file several internal affairs investigations, and, it was very difficult. But one of the things I had recognized right away was, what kind of trauma has this officer gone through to be able to overreact and be crazy just on a simple traffic stop situation? So it's like people have to recognize, that it's so important for them first to recognize their own emotions. It's not even funny. How am I feeling? How do I want to feel? What does this really look like? And the reason, if it's not addressed, we're going to continue to see much more crime than we've seen already. My perception or my thought of even one of the reasons why there is much more significant crime, because usually it's a lot of the younger generation that is committing a lot of the simple crimes. But they, you know, think about how they grew up on video games, where in crime was the mind cannot distinguish the difference between reality and fantasy. So when people play video games, it's like it's just as easy to perceive that as reality for them. So it's even easier for them to do those things in real life. And the thing is, we're going to see an increase of that, because one of the reasons why kids are even playing and addicted to video games so much is because they're not happiness and peace of mind in the household. It's crazy how it trickles down.
They want to get into something where they have more control, or where they are able to determine the end results of things, which they can't.
Yeah.
In most households, they can't have that kind of control. So they put themselves in an environment where they can.
Yeah. And what it's creating is emotionally desensitive society. So, the problem, people, because it's easy to overreact to situations. People don't even understand their overreactions. I actually teach my clients to celebrate their overreactions, because then it's something for us to be able to work on. Get understanding of where this really came from, and how, you know, and what are some of the things we have to be able to let go of so we can step into that bigger and better version of ourselves. But, yeah, that is exactly right. If this does not get resolved, or if it's not talked about, and the sad reality is I'm part of several groups, especially on Facebook, of PTSD Wives. We have our own PTSD Caregivers group. And what happens is I'm hearing all of the turmoil. So many people are trying to hold on to their relationships. But you know what? They can only hold on to it but so much, and that's the reason why it actually gets worse when a couple splits up, and after they've been dealing with it for so long, it actually creates even worse of a situation for both parties. If they continue to go on a spiral in a relationship, there's more things going against you than there is going for you. It's almost like spiritual warfare. Like chunking up. Yeah, chunking up, big picture. You know, like just like there's good and evil. You know, like day and night, all these different dichotomies. Yes, like marriage and relationships are supposed to be a blessing, but one of the things a lot of people don't talk about is how difficult it can be even first starting off in a marriage. And there's a difference between a relationship and an amazing relationship. And
tell me.
Relationship, and
an amazing relationship.
Yes. I mean, so many people will be in a marriage 20 years and be unhappy, 60 years, 30 years and still be unhappy. And it's like what happens is you get married, and sometimes there's not even another relationship goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like the next relationship goal they may think is have a kid, but no, that's really a family goal. Or buy a house, well, really that's a financial goal. But the next really relationship goal is retirement. So the time between then and now, there's so much time. I want to – an amazing relationship is living every day, even if it's not a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if not – every day is not supposed to be a good day. Even in the good days and the bad days, there's more good days than there are bad days. There's more happiness than there is sadness. There's more joy together than there is not joy. And it gets trickled. The sad reality is when there's not that, especially, so, you know, what, Dr. Hank, what do you think is the number one thing for marriages to work, a successful marriage to work?
Just right off the top of my head, I was going to say trust, you know, or.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's exactly what we're talking about. It's emotional intelligence. A lot of times people say communication. But, you know, even if there's people who are horrible with communication, if they had solid emotional intelligence, they could stand the test of time.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But the reality is so many people, they just don't even have that emotional intelligence. And it's just because they weren't taught. That's one reason why this is such a new area. And we're so grateful for you doing what you're doing, because that way it's like that message is spreading. Because, yes, EI is definitely for everyone. And the more that
you
they
know,
can tap into their own, the power.
You know, like this comedian once said, don't get me started, you know. But you're so right. And, you know, and I often have people go, oh, that's just Dr. Hank and that emotional intelligence stuff. Well, the only reason I'm talking about it, because I fundamentally believe that there's real value. There's real value there. There's unseen value. There's unknown value. And I always say there are four kinds of people in the world when it comes to emotional intelligence. There's one group that don't know and don't use emotional intelligence. Well, you can't fault them. You can't say anything negative about them, because if you don't know, it's sometimes difficult to use something or to do something that you don't know about. So I can understand that. Then there's a second group. The second group is a group that don't know, but they use emotional intelligence. And you might say, well, now how can that be? Well, we all know of people that have a skill but have never been trained in it. For instance, you might see like on YouTube where you may have a 3-year-old pianist who can play, you know, Beethoven or some other kinds of, you know, music, and they are just musically inclined. Well, there are people who are born using or being able to use the skills of emotional intelligence without even going to a Dr. Hank class or a Dr. Tucker's class or anything like that. You know, it's just something that's inborn. They do it. And then there's a third group. The third group, and this is a kind of dangerous group here, is a group that knows but don't use emotional intelligence. That is, they know about it. They've read books. They've seen videos. They've been on YouTube. They've gone to seminars. And if you ask them, they can cite you chapter and verse about emotional intelligence. But if you talk to their friends, relatives, a spouse or something, those individuals probably say, yeah, that individual knows a lot about it because they're always talking about it. But, you know, they don't use it. They're not a good team member. They're not a good spouse. When it comes to being empathetic, you know, they don't show empathy for people who may be in need of empathy. Or, you know, they're not necessarily in touch with their emotion. And I call that group a dangerous group because they believe, more often than not, they believe that they are emotionally intelligent. Because they've gone to seminars, workshop classes, read books, they believe that they are. But they know, but they don't use emotional intelligence. And then there's the fourth group, fourth and final group. And that fourth group is that group that know and use. Now, that's the ideal group. That's where I would like to see everyone to know about it and to use it. And so that's
so
one of
true.
The purposes of the show is to help people to kind of become more aware by having guests like you on to share different, you know, concepts, different ways that people come to emotional intelligence. And it's not just one thing. Emotional intelligence is not just one thing so that someone says, I got it, now I know, and I'm going to use it. That was the reason for the book, EQ is for Everyone, so that we can all see that there's something in emotional intelligence that we can all benefit from. So, like I said, don't get me started. You know, I'm taking away from your time and all, and I apologize for that.
No. It totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking that a lot of people who come to my coaching class are hypersensitive. meaning that they are very sensitive to their emotions. And it's only really 20% population that was born with this natural intuition for emotional intelligence, like for that hypersensitivity. Like, for instance, some of them, like if a tree falls, they're really affected by it. You know, or that's just, that talks about the level of sensitivity. As a matter of fact, it's because of nature. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing the company or doing what I'm doing with this company, because no one will care about nature if they don't care about themselves and other people. And then they can hopefully start caring about the planet. So, you know, and what happens, that those type of people, it's like I feel like those who are born like that, that have that calling, are going to be the ones that are going to be helped to awaken those people who may not necessarily have no clue. Yeah,
right.
But, you know, it's important to be able to practice what we teach, practice what we preach, practice what we know, because it can be also cultivated by those if they so choose to. And everybody has their own path, their own purpose, and they got to be able to figure that out on their own.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I feel like everybody's purpose does have something to do with emotional intelligence and for the betterment of other people. But sometimes people are so blocked. There's so much stuff going on that, you know, that, like, think about people who have been incarcerated. And a lot of times we look at these people like, oh, there's such a problem and blah, blah, blah. This is what society will say. The reality is, what have they gone through in their life for them to be able to be this way? How did they have to, what did they have to endure?
Right.
You know, and the thing is, sometimes the more stuff you go through, the bigger your calling is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people are actually, who are incarcerated, are actually very sensitive. And then they get into this environment where you have a lot of people who aren't. And then it makes them even more desensitized. So it's really this thing about how can we increase the sensitivity of the planet? How can we be able to empower them to be able to get out of their own head and have more of that trust, like you say?
Yes, yes. Well,
what did they
say?
Let go and let flow and, you know, trust and allow and don't ask how. But often we're so caught up in,
I
got
to
do it this way or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I love that one too.
Yes. Wow. This is good. You know, I always enjoy you being on the show because there's always, you always come up with some profound things that cause me to think even further or deeper than I'm probably thinking at the time when we start the show. And you've done that again today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Is there anything else that you would like to share on the topic today?
Well, just that, you know, if you know someone that has PTSD or has gone through some craziness in their life, first of all, be supportive. Or if it's even you, be supportive of yourself. The thing is, most people with PTSD will beat themselves up. It's one thing of what people tell us about ourselves, but it's another thing, the thing that we really listen to is what we tell ourselves about ourselves. So what is that voice that's going on inside? You know, is it doubtful? Is it like, you know, I'm not good enough? Who am I to do this? Blah, blah, blah. You know, how can we be able to release those things? Because it could have been something that served us at a point in our life when that did happen or we made that decision. But, you know, how does it really serve us now? Is it serving you for the better? Is it serving you for the future? How is it? And the thing is, we will always know what's going on within us when we look at our relationships. It's not always about the other person. It's really, it's about us too. So take that journey. Take that step if you need support. You know, for the most part, the best thing I would recommend, if this is something that you're struggling with or you know people or you have this call and like, oh, my gosh, I'm supposed to help others with this, whether it's PTSD or whether it's some other kind of situation that's causing people problems and you want to be able to help them overcome it, take our life coaching class. It's our life harmony. And we go deep in emotional intelligence, and not just emotional intelligence, but really emotional wisdom, because emotional intelligence is more of the head part. But when you combine the head and the heart, that's when it's really the wisdom. It's like the head part trying to think about the heart part. But the reality is it takes both of them to really be able to make it wise.
Wow. That's powerful stuff, powerful stuff. Well, we're just about at the end of the show, and I always like for our guests, for our listeners, sometimes, you know, they'd like to be able to take away something, or they'd like to be able to reach out and find out more about you. So a couple of things. One, how could one reach you, find out more about you, maybe even employ your services? And two, is there a gift or something that if they contact you that they could maybe walk away with today?
Yeah, check out our website, anotherlevelliving.com. And in that, anotherlevelliving.com, that's our website. And, you know, it'll be able to talk about our services. It also has the life coach. We have upcoming class coming up in November, which I'm really excited about, in Norfolk, Virginia. And then also in terms of a free gift, I have a couple of them, but one of the ones I want to really give now is 3 secrets on how to expand your life vision. And this is going to be something that, you know, if there is something that you're struggling with that has been like obstacles in the past, and you want to live more in the present, and you really want to expand your vision for the future, this audio would absolutely help. It's a short audio. It's under 10 minutes, and you can get it at www.anotherlevelliving.com/3 and then secrets. That's plural, 3 secrets. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, so it sounds like, and I'm going to say it this way, you know, because just to avoid the rush, that if someone contacted you at anotherlevelliving.com, you have an audio tape that you would like to share with them on 3 secrets to expanding your life vision. Is that correct? Did I get all those words correct?
Yep, that is correct.
3 secrets to expanding
in your life. So it's just anotherlevelliving.com/3, the number 3, secrets.
Okay. Now, just before we go, I'm going to ask you just one thing. So they will still get to know the 2 secrets, but can you just share with us what one of those secrets are? Not the whole thing, but just one of the secrets.
Oh, well, pay attention to your happiness.
Okay. Okay.
Pay attention
to
your happiness.
So, listeners, you just heard
that. That happiness is so powerful.
You just heard that. Sometimes we don't appreciate the happiness that we have. And so what I'm understanding is that these 3 secrets to expanding your life vision, one of them is, you know, you have some degree of happiness, pay attention to it. And there's more to it than that, but this is just to kind of get you started, because believe me, Dr. Tucker is one powerful coach. She has a great program, one powerful person to listen to. I admire her. And I hope you get a chance to go online, not only to get the 3 secrets to expanding your life vision, but to maybe find out more about her coaching class and all the things that she has to offer. So, Dr. Tucker, again, thank you very much for being on the show today. As always,
thank you so much for having me.
Yes,
I really appreciate you too. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, Dr. Hank. You totally rock. And I hope you have an amazing day. I hope this was as helpful for your audience as it all inspiring as it was for mine and me too.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be talking to you soon. Have a blessed day. And as I always say, have an EI day.
Thank you. You too. Talk to you soon. All right.
Okay. Bye now. And you've been listening to the Dr. Hank Show, and you heard some great words of wisdom coming from our guest today. Our guest was Dr. Heather Tucker. Her organization, anotherlevelliving.com. Hey, and I encourage you, go to the website, check it out, anotherlevelliving.com. some powerful stuff there. And next week, we're going to have another guest. And as I always say, we'll be back for more. And I'd certainly like for you to be back also, because next week we're expecting to have Dr. Carl Davis. Carl Davis. And if you want to hear how maybe law enforcement, because a lot of people talk about law enforcement and the insensitivity and everything like that around law enforcement. Well, I think you'll be in for a treat next week, because with the person that we're going to have on board spent the better part of 25 years in law enforcement. And he's going to be sharing some information with us around emotional intelligence. Now, I know you might say, well, you know, those two things don't go together, law enforcement and emotional intelligence. But yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I think that's where we may sometimes don't give law enforcement credit, because we say, you know, they lack emotional intelligence. Well, perhaps some do, perhaps some don't. But we'll get a chance to explore some of that and much, much more, next week. So be sure to tune in to hear the Dr. Hank Show. We'll have another great session for you. Again, just to review a couple of things that I talked about at the beginning of the show. One is I'm going to be doing a book signing tomorrow in New Orleans. And this is going to be at the, the Hyatt Hotel. No, the Hilton Hotel in New Orleans, at Hilton New Orleans Riverside. That's what it's called. And so if you're familiar with the New Orleans in that area, that's sort of the downtown area right off of Porges Street. I'm going to be speaking at an annual conference there. Presentation is going to be on how one uses emotional intelligence as a competitive advantage. So if you're in the area, certainly come on by and register for that conference. If you can't register for the entire conference, well, just see if you can get in just to listen to the presentation I'm going to be doing. I'm guarantee you that you'll enjoy not only the presentation, but you'll probably pick up some really important points from that, because it's not only focusing on how emotional intelligence can be a competitive advantage, it's going to be focusing on or talking about decision making and how we might use emotional intelligence to enhance or improve our decision making. And right after that, I will be doing the book signing, so that should happen sometime around noon tomorrow at the Hilton Hotel in New Orleans, the Hilton New Orleans Riverside, it's called. So please come on down and attend that. A couple of other things. One, I mentioned early on that there's going to be a webinar conference October 19th, and I'll keep announcing that until that date arrives, but you do need to register early because there's only a limited number of seats. You know how it is with technology and webinars. They can only have so many seats available. And after that, they can't take any more. So I don't want you to get caught short by waiting and waiting and waiting. So do it now. Go to the website, societyofei.org. Go to the conference page, and that's where you can register for the webinar. There will be three webinars. One will come on at 12 Eastern Daylight Time. The second, 11 Eastern Daylight Time, 12 Eastern Daylight Time, and 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Three outstanding webinars by three outstanding practitioners. A couple of those practitioners, of course, are our chapter leaders. One is out of New York. The other one is out of South Florida or the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. So you won't want to miss those. And another is coming from, coming by way of the Bay Area, meaning the San Francisco Bay Area, and that is Matt Perlstein. So I'm sure you won't want to miss any of those. I can guarantee you it's well worth the $79, if not more. So please, go online, societyofei.org, go to the conference page and look for the registration information for that. This is Dr. Hank saying thanks for being with us today. Always appreciate you tuning in. Look forward to you tuning in next week, same time, same place, when our guest will be Carl Davis. Carl Davis, he's going to be sharing some information with us around how we might use emotional intelligence to improve our public speaking or speaking in general. So you won't want to miss that. Looking forward to seeing you back here, same place, same time. So please, as I always say, this is Dr. Hank saying, please go out and have an EI day.